Oh yeah. Welcome to another episode of the Alski Show right here on AnchorFM.com. Download the app. I want to send a speedy recovery over to Karen from Gallery 448, one of my sponsors. Hope you get well real soon. Big ups to Ryan over at Stickify, Fam561. Special shout to Nonstop Pins. That's right. The Alski Show pin will be dropping soon. Stay tuned. Be sure to get it at www.outtocrash.com. Support those that support you. Special thanks to Empty Cans New York City for last week's interview. It was fun. Hope all is well out there. I want to thank everybody that sent birthday wishes over to me. That's right. It's much appreciated. Big ups to Graffiti Pete. Shout to the brother, the Freak Fix, Goat Oleum, Zoo TVT Crew, Star TSK from the Bronx, Michael Labs. Check his podcast out, The Michael Labs Show, on all major podcast platforms. Like I said, support those that support you. Podcast Life, 76 Air 88. Big ups to Gemstar Arts, Zerx One. And once again, check out the Kodak Kid Memorial Show in Philly. I believe it's the 24th. I could be wrong. Go over to Conrail's page, get the info. They're saving, they're doing a good cause. They're trying to raise some money for Kodak Kid's daughter. 10 years old, mom or dad, you know, it's rough. It's definitely rough. And if you're out in, my volume now. What the fuck? Check, check, check. My volume went out. Nothing fucking new. I don't know. Where am I? How come I myself? Check, check, check. Check, check, check. All right, there we go. Bleeps and fucking blunders. My fucking day today isn't going very well. How the fuck you like that? Anyway, if you're out in Maine, Portland, Maine, that is, the 20th year anniversary for the YME crew, that's right. Be sure to check that out. Go to Benchmaster One. And how come am I cutting off? This is not fucking right. Anyway, shit's just fucking horrible. All right. This interview, I got to thank the Freight Fix on this one. Much appreciated on setting this one up with me. For the podcast listeners. Since I ran out of music, I feel like a dickhead because, I don't know, something with the volume over here. But let's get this started. Let me see. All right. You got to press this, press that. Let's go on audio, voice call. You know, it's that type of fucking day. I don't know. My cat's going nuts. I don't think he's going to make it. So keep my cat socks in your prayers because that's another reason why I'm a little fucked up here. The volumes are fucking fading in and out. Cables were cleaned, all that bullshit. But then again, it's raw. It's raw and uncut. And this week's podcast, what do you think about when you go down to Miami?
Hello.
Hello.
Alski.
Mr. Atomic. I just dropped a question before you picked up the phone. So what do you think about when you go to Miami? Me, I think about oranges. When I was a kid, I used to think about the Dolphins, but now it's, you know, now it's the one and only Atomic. Thank you for accepting the invitation and to the Freight Fix for reaching out to you, actually. So, not many people get to experience an interview like this one on my behalf, on my platform anyway. I think this is going to be really, really good. let's just back it up to this simple question: as of when did you start with the graffiti, and how did you come up with the name Atomic? Atomico is your Instagram, so we'll get that straight for everybody. And
all right,
let's take it away. And I got quite a few questions because I'm kind of amazed. And you know what? Let me let you finish, and then the question I have is a great one because I've been thinking about something like that for a while. And when I was scrolling through your page, I saw something that was really like, shit, man, yo, he's the man. So, but let's rewind. When did you start writing and how did you come up with Atomic?
Well, I started writing a little bit before 1996. Mm-hmm. I don't count the years before that because I was a toy and didn't have can control and didn't have a grasp on using a spray can yet. I was just more in the books and trying to imitate what I saw on walls and whatnot. But in 1996 I gained my can control and then started painting graffiti from there, mostly piecing, not so much bombing and tagging and whatnot. Right. As far as the name goes, my friend at the time that wrote Honor with a E-H-O-N-E-R, he gave me the tag Atom, A-T-O-M. Mm-hmm. And I did some research and flipped through spray can art and saw that there was a published Atom from Brooklyn and that it probably wasn't a good idea for me to try to use that name. So I just added on the IK to it. And I'm not quite sure how he came up with the tag. My name is Adam, A-D-A-M, so maybe it was a play on my name. But I don't really know exactly why I write that tag, to be honest.
Well, with a name like Adam, why not? But far as Atomic, Adam, LOC crew from Brooklyn, I believe he started in the late 80s, 90s. He actually, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote Atomic as well and then shortened it to Adam. And he is on Instagram and LOC crew. And that's very interesting. I see that a lot of people I do interview, they all say the same thing. Well, I started, but I was a toy, no control. That's something that I would personally think no one would even discuss, but everybody seems to be true to it because you know what? You could pick up a spray can, doesn't mean you know how to use it. And especially back in the 80s and 90s, our choice of paint wasn't as good as it is today, where you have all these, spray caps and companies with high pressure, low pressure. So, you know, that's a big difference today where you have a new rider getting into it. He's got more options. But now, how did you come up with the orange? Because to me, the orange is Miami. It's Florida. And it's actually genius, to be honest with you.
The orange is a response from the demolition of the Miami Orange Bowl. It was a football stadium in Little Havana, which is a neighborhood just west of downtown Miami. Mm-hmm. And it stood for more than 70 years. And I wasn't necessarily thrilled about them demolishing the stadium and turning it into a baseball park, which it is now. Mm-hmm. It's the Marlins ballpark. And that was pretty much it. They have a mascot, if you will, for the stadium called Obie. It's O-B-I-E. Mm-hmm. And it's just a smiling orange with a crown. And sometimes they use it as the face only, and then other times they'll use it with a body in different poses or different settings. So it was directly inspired from Obie of the Miami Orange Bowl.
And you've brought it out to a very high level, in my opinion, as far as the graffiti community, the freights. You know, people see the orange rolling through, they know it's you. It's not how do you put it? It's not something that's scrawled all over a car or a wall. It's actually art. And when you get people walking down the street, you know, argument's sake, let's say I did an Alski and you came next to me, you know, and you did the orange, you know, in sneakers, Nikes, you know, earphones, spray can in the hand, whatever it may be. People would actually look at your orange and probably consider it art before graffiti. And
for sure,
the way I look at it, the way I've seen your page and what you represent to many people, you're the graffiti guy. You're, so to speak, entrepreneur in the industry. And I was very impressed, which is a question that I was going to ask, but I'll just put it out there. I was very impressed with many, many things on your page, all these collaborations you have going on with companies and whatnot. I remember, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I was telling my wife, you know, because she does shirts and whatnot. I was like, why don't we get like a flimsy bikini and put the logo on the bikini? And she laughed, of course, because, you know, it's funny to her, I guess. But I mean, to me, I thought it was pretty cool. And going through your page and I see your clothing line. I see two models actually in a one piece with the orange by the belly. And you even have skater shorts.
Right.
How did that all come about? I mean, by the way, the Nike Airs that you painted the orange on the toes, fucking slamming. I mean, bottom line, hot. And you should actually, I mean, maybe I could set it up where I could reach out to George over at All the Right in Corona. This guy sells sneakers. I mean, they come in and they fly out the door. The basement where I used to do the show years ago was loaded with sneakers. And the minute they came in, they were going up. They were going out the door, so on and so forth. He's a very he's very into the graph and very into the sneakers. Maybe, you know, I could try to set something up with George at All the Right where you could maybe do some, you know, limited edition Nikes and work something out with him, because I'm sure he would love the idea. And just by me seeing those sneakers, I was like, wow, you know, they're cool. And you actually have footage of you actually doing them.
Yeah, so those shoes were for collaboration with a streetwear company named Kendall Supply. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the neighborhood in Miami where I'm from is Kendall. As far as the bikinis and the swimwear and the trunks go, that's a collaboration with a company named Prinkster. The dude is a Colombian dude, so he has access to all these like really sexy bikinis and different sort of swimwear and whatnot. So it's a cool thing. I've gotten a tremendous response from the bathing suits and the swimwear.
Mm. Well, like I said, I saw it and I was like, wow, that's genius. That's, you know, something that you took an orange and you ran with it.
Yeah, to touch on your comparison of you doing a piece or catching a tag and then me doing the orange next to it and, you know, who's going to appreciate it more, so to speak, or whatever, that happened to me directly, because I still write today. I still, you know, do my tags and do my letter pieces occasionally. But from 1996 to 2008 to 2010, I was 100% writing my name. You know, that's what I concentrated on for many years and obsessed about it. And
you got a nice trademark signature, by the way. I like the way you flow over the top and letters fit right in like a sort of an umbrella.
For sure.
I kind of like it. I think, you know, many of us are genius in our own way, but, you know, just the fact of the orange and the style that you have and the painting of the freights. I mean, you pretty much control everything down to a science. You had a fuel car. I hated fuel cars.
Yeah,
I thought those were the worst damn the tankers. The worst damn thing to paint. And I saw one, you know, nice orange, and you had you had like the mist of the paint going over, and you had your tag and so on and so forth. I don't have to remind you, but for people, you know, definitely check out his page, Atomico. It's very genius. It's like here you are with the character and you're incorporating the graffiti part of it all on a freight. And
for sure, those tankers, a lot of times at my spots, there's no boxcars. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll ride by and just see a tanker and I see it from the side. And the one you're talking about, I actually painted the side of the tanker. But the really cool pieces that I like a lot on tankers are on the end of the tankers where it's a huge circle.
Yeah.
And then I just paint the face on that circle. And mm-hmm. people trip out when they see that because, you know, 99% yeah, of the people out there doing trains are focusing on the sides of the trains, not on the ends of the trains. So it's a different approach right there.
The cars that up in New York, I remember one time walking through and there was the delivery of wood. I don't know what the hell they call those cars. To me, they're wood cars.
Yeah, I know which ones you're talking about. I don't know what they call them either, but yeah, they have the metal on each side, which is a good place not necessarily to do a name piece, but, you know, a two-letter throw-up or a one, you know, character will fit perfectly right
but
there.
Lo and behold, there was an orange.
Yeah.
And I thought it was genius. And there's quite a few people that hit those spots. You know, Ick hits them with his skeleton head. Many people hit them, but what really stands out is the orange. It's like, okay, so people that really don't know anything about graffiti see it, you know, they're at the light, you know, railroad crossing, here comes a train, there's a nice big orange, you know, end to end, top to bottom, three oranges, four oranges, and they're probably thinking, shit, that's a fucking Tropicana orange juice car, you know. But meanwhile, the people that know about the graph, they're like, damn, this motherfucker's just killing shit. I mean, you smashed plenty.
And I'd like to do an orange on a juice car. It's funny because I haven't painted a juice car since, I guess, 2010.
I never caught one.
They don't come down to Miami. It's like their headquarters is in Central Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I've actually like gone and painted at their headquarters on their property, but they don't come down to Miami. I think that when they deliver juice to South Florida or anywhere south of where their headquarters is, they just put it on a truck. It doesn't make sense to put it on a train. But I've caught those trains a few times in my travels, but never while I was doing the orange. I was doing my name. So that's definitely a bucket list right there. Yeah, for sure.
I gotta agree with that because, I mean, we've looked at them, you know, through pitches and a few times up in the Bronx, I catch them in the yard, but, you know, they were already hit. And I was like, damn, man, I never fucking got a chance to hit a Tropicana car. I mean, I actually bought an HO scale, an O scale of it, but the real deal, not yet. Hopefully I'll
tell you one thing. I went to visit Orlando probably like in 2005 or 2006. And at the time, Deck from Brooklyn and 2DX crew was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew of a place where there was a Tropicana, I guess, graveyard, so to speak, where there was just all these like dead orange Tropicana boxcars, like the older model, not the ones now that are like excess height and, you know, nice flat white panels. These were like the Baby Ridge, like orange ones. And it was cool to paint them, even though, you know, they weren't going anywhere. It was still cool to go there and spend the day painting some old Tropicana trains.
Oh, that's nice. Hell yeah. I would. Yeah. I would. Why not?
For sure.
Especially for the picture. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, the best thing about it is that what I really love is, you know, you hit the panel, you take your picture. Sometimes, you know, it's a nasty picture because it's at night, maybe where the train's sitting. And, you know, you have the picture for your collection. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, a month or whatever, even a couple of years later, someone tags you to a picture. And you're like, shit, man, I forgot about that car. You know, that's the one that didn't come out too good in my pitches. But the benching scene, you know, I got to give it to the photographers, because if it wasn't for these guys putting in the work, you know, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be available to you as well as being documented. And it's just it's like a little world in its own between, you know, the Monica, the Bencher, the graffiti writer, the artist. You know, I personally fell in love with this stuff many, many years ago, but never really pursued it. But then it was like, you know, what are you going to get more notoriety on? You know, these trains are going everywhere, cross country, up to Canada. You know, that beats any subway system, in my opinion.
No, well, with my situation, I, you know, like many writers, caught problems and caught beef in my city, and everything that I was doing out here was getting crossed out immediately. So I decided to go to the freight trains and paint those instead, because it would ride out. 9 out of 10 of them would ride out, and other people would see it. And I really got hooked onto it, and, you know, started writing down the numbers of the cars I was painting and tracking them. And I remember one time after I did my first whole car, tracking it, and it said the location, and it was like down in Mexico. I was like, holy smokes, this is crazy. Like, something that I painted in my city is all the way in a different country now. And as you were saying before about the people that are benching, it's great, because where I'm at, we're at a dead end in the country. We're a peninsula. There's one way in, one way out. It's not like a crossroad where, you know, you see all different types of people coming through and different transportation or whatever it is going through. We're a dead end. And even the train activity stops at a certain point, and I live south of that. So it's like, I don't see any trains whatsoever crossing by my daily routine. You know, I never, as a matter of fact, of all the trains that I've painted, I've never actually like seen one of them go by, because I'm just not in that area. Like, there's not much train activity out here. So it's
but
cool.
Meanwhile, I mean, not for nothing, I went over to Art Basel, Basel. How do you pronounce it?
I say Basil.
Basil? Okay. I say Basil because I'm Italian. So
yeah, a lot of people say Basil.
Anyway, we went, I don't know, 3 years ago, and it was fun. We had fun. And, of course, your orange was everywhere, I must say. And, you know, the production walls were beautiful. I ran into Rack. He's from Florida, originally from Queens.
And, I know Rack.
And Rack TDK, which actually I got to send him his shirts. You know, it's just, you know, been one of those delayed orders. But anyway, the we hook up, whatever, and I'm like, yo, dude, you got a spot? And he was like, I think I got something here, something there, whatever. So we go, and they were, what do you call those? I call them garbage cars.
Right.
The coal cars. And,
the hoppers, yeah.
No, not a hopper. The one that actually lugs a load of coal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm horrible with names. So, you know, everybody listening, they're probably going to say, what a dick, but I really don't give a fuck. Anyway, so now we're driving, and the fucking neighborhood is bad. So, I mean, I don't care about a bad neighborhood, but I'm like, yo, a couple of white guys, you know, in a rental car, and actually we had a Mercedes. We're driving through this neighborhood, and it's like, where are we going to park? You know, we're gonna probably get rolled on or whatever. So Zeus actually goes, hey, look, there's a house over there. It's obviously abandoned. Pull in the driveway, and let's hop the wall. So I'm looking at him. I'm like, all right, I got nothing to lose. I mean, you know, it is what it is. So we actually parked the car in someone's driveway garage that the house was abandoned. And we hopped the gate. And as we're walking towards the cars, little kids are playing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, pretty fucking amazing. But I'm not really worried about the kids. I'm like, how about the parents if they see us, you know? So we just go on our merry way. And, you know, we had fun painting. And I can't even tell you where exactly it was down there near Wynwood. Somewhere. It wasn't near the Basel activities. But it was fun. It was different. It was a little little awkward seeing kids playing on the tracks, but, you know,
right.
To each his own, everybody got to play somewhere. And the whole entire scene down in Art Basel, to me, was pretty cool. The music was great. The graph was great. You know, people were friendly. But then you had, you know, you had some of your people that were arrogant and whatnot.
Right.
I actually had someone roll up to me where we had beef on the line, and you know, nothing happened. I mean, it was pretty much handled, but it was like, shit, man, these people tracked me down to fucking Florida. You know, it's like, wow, it's fucking insane. You know, people don't realize the impact you put, and the impact out there. I mean, forget all the other aspects of the game, but in the freight line game, you know, people really are serious about these freights.
For sure.
And it's like another world. It should be documented, totally different compared to other, you know, graffiti aspects of the game. And I've learned that way. And, you know, look, I'm not perfect. I've done plenty of fucked up things. But at the same time, I've learned to respect everybody that shares that line. And,
right.
Yeah, okay, people hate me, whatever. You know what? I get it. I understand. I paid my price. My plenty of cars were lined. But you know what I hate the most, though, when they line you and they don't even write their name?
Oh, you know? Yeah, that happens a lot.
And I'm like, who would do that? I mean, you're risking getting caught, you know, on the line, and you're going to go up to my car just to line it? I mean, that's kind of,
you know what,
crazy.
A lot of the times what happens, which is even worse, is when I get a lot of people crossing me out and they don't write their name. They write the name of someone that has already passed away. So it's like, dude, you're like bringing someone back from the dead to like a negative situation, like just let them rest, you know? So it's even, I think it's even more pathetic or even more of a coward move to just like cross someone out and then write someone else's name.
But was it at least similar to the original? Because I had an incident where someone did an Alski outline over somebody, and guy tagged me, and like they're cursing me out, and I'm looking, I'm laughing, I'm like, that ain't even me, asshole. I mean, you know, look at my shit. That is not me. One guy put, haha, pretty cool, but no cigar, and right. It's like, wow, why would you risk all that just to, like, get me involved deeper in shit, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I wonder, is it a bencher that's doing it that he don't write? Is it a regular kid, you know, that's just walking the track and is like, ah, fuck that, you know, see you later? But it's crazy. It's crazy how it excels into a pretty much global thing on the rail.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's all of the above. A little bit of benchers, a little bit of just kids picking up a can or whatever, and then you have, you know, a writer that is either too afraid to write their name or claim their action, you know?
You know, that's kind of fucked up. I mean, if you have beef with someone, wouldn't you want them to know it was you going over them?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the way it was over here. You know, you wanted a spot. You're born and raised in Florida, correct?
Yeah, Miami.
Okay, so me, I'm, you know, city kid, New York. You wanted a spot. You took it. Now, basically, it was all right. If the corner spot had a whole shitload of tags, throwies, whatever, and I went there and I just stomped the whole wall, which is what we used to love to do, you know, that's my wall. Then, you know, it'll run whatever. Somebody would go over you just to get the spot. And it's like, all right, so I want that spot. I got to go back. I got to take it back. And that was an ongoing thing. But you knew who you had beef with. You knew what crew was after you. You knew who was crossing you out, because they would just leave their name. You know, today it really isn't like that. I haven't seen a good old-fashioned beef in a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it's wrong, especially when you're putting in all that time and effort doing a nice car, and then someone just goes and blinds your shit. You know, it's kind of fucked up. But at the same time, this is what I always say. Maybe you could relate. you know my name, I don't know yours. So you're actually going to bed thinking about me.
For sure.
And I have no clue who the fuck you are, and I really don't give a shit. To me, it's like, okay, you're giving me more props, you're blowing me up even more so, because you're lining me. And people are like, ah, there's another one that got lined. Oh, shit, there's another one that got lined. But then again, there's no one there to claim that.
Right.
So what do you have up in store for the future? Because, you know, your ideas are great, your collaborations are fucking fabulous. What else is, you know, what really got you going into these collabs? I mean, the money must be good when you're dropping bathing suits and shit like that. I mean, Miami, you know, come on, how many women are in Miami? The last time I was in Miami, Coconut Grove, is that club still there?
Coconut Grove is a neighborhood, and
there was a Coco Walk.
Yeah.
Back then, it was called Coconut Grove, the club that I had went to. And it was great because I knew someone that lived over there. And when I went, she actually knew, like, everybody in there. And I was actually able to spin for, like, an hour. Dope. And it was fucking great. It was, the rush was fucking phenomenal. And this is going back, 1989.
Okay. Yeah, Coconut Grove is a neighborhood in Miami that's still around. They're doing a lot of different projects over there, like rebuilding certain things and building new like buildings and whatnot. But Coconut Grove is still around. They're redoing Coco Walk, which is in the middle of Coconut Grove. But yeah, as far as what I got going on, I mean, I haven't been traveling much because I have a 5-month-old daughter.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. We're going to go on a family trip to Denver in September. There's a mural festival. It's almost like Art Basel in Miami, but in Denver, Colorado. So nice. I've never painted in Colorado, so I'm excited to go out there for a few nights and check out the scene on the West Coast or whatever. But for Basel, this year I have a collaboration with Extra Large. It's a Japanese streetwear brand, and I'm really excited about it. We're gonna do a block party in Liberty City and take over like a park, and they're gonna actually paint a full-size basketball court with my graphics that I designed. They're gonna have, you know, professional court painters go out there and
paint
my image, and we got a bunch of like different collateral items that are dropping with the block party, like shirts and hoodies and hats and slides and headbands, and they're gonna do basketballs with the orange on it. Should be really cool. I'm excited about
that, that is pretty exciting. I mean, how that must be some great feeling. You're actually gonna have professional basketball court painters doing your shit.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Oh man, that I would actually try to get in there and video this and be like,
yeah,
look, that's me. And they're like, no, it's not. It's them. You know, it's like, holy shit, these guys are actually getting paid to paint your logo.
It's crazy.
That's
I want to add like little like accents after they paint, because they're, I think, limited to 3 colors. Mm-hmm. And of course, what I do with a spray can or a brush or whatever isn't going to last as long as whatever paint they're using. But I want to try to talk to them and give, like, you know, an artist touch to it, because it's very weird, like, just having someone paint your work and then that's it, you know, just looking at it. I'm sure there's going to be flaws and stuff that I want to fix or add, and I was limited with the colors, so we'll see what happens. So I'm going to do a solo exhibition in November over in Wynwood. It's a large space, so I'm preparing a bunch of works now, and I'm gonna do a book as well with all the oranges that I've painted. I might have a little section in there of, you know, my letters and stuff that I did prior to the character. But I'm excited about that, because to publish a book is it's a dream, you know. You always have your photo album or your black book, but when something gets printed, you know, on a big Heidelberg press, and you know you're running 1,000 copies or 500 copies, however many it is, and it's perfect bound, or whether it's hardcover or whatever it is, it's just very cool for me to have this opportunity, you know.
No, listen, I would love an opportunity like that, but you know, it's like everybody has a purpose in this industry, and you seem to be covering bases fairly quickly.
For sure.
Who else wouldn't want to be you? You know.
Right.
I would love someone painting my stuff, and I could watch. You know, I would love my Alski Show logo on some girl's ass in a bikini. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Shit, man, I think I'm going to try to do it. I mean, I ain't going to go as far as you did with the Colombian guy. But
yeah.
I was figuring, let me buy a couple of pieces, right? And I'll have my wife put the logo on it. And then, you know, something on Instagram where I'll promote it to give it away,
right.
Just as long as the girl models it and sends me the pictures of it so I could post it, you know?
For sure.
But shit, I mean, making money on it would probably be a whole lot better, but I mean, sometimes, you know what, if you love what you do, I mean, the money's always great because comfort is a beautiful thing, but the passion is the passion, the drive, you know, to keep pushing and pushing. It just comes from what we know, and the benefits that you're getting from this must be so, like, the hype must be really phenomenal.
Yeah, it's rewarding, man. I'm very blessed to be able to do what I do. I went to school for doing graphic design. I studied for 3 years as a graphic designer, and then I worked in that field for 10 years more or less, and one day, you know, some life-changing events happened, and I just said, fuck this, dude, I'm not gonna sit behind a computer screen in an office 5 days a week and, you know, the whole year and have like a couple weeks off of vacation or whatever, and whatever. Basically, I just started, you know, freelancing and traveling, and luckily the orange took off and I was able to start, you know, making a living off of my art and what I enjoy doing more than, you know, just being on a computer or whatever. So it really is a blessing. I've been lucky to, you know, be able to live this life.
That's great. You know how many people dream of that, and you know your dream is coming true, and you're just excelling forward and growing and growing and growing. It's great because, like I said, you know, you took that orange, and the reasoning behind the orange with the orange bowl, that's a fabulous story in itself, you know?
Right. And yeah, it kind of went beyond that, because now that the orange bowl's long gone, now it's just like, okay, well, are you still really mad about the orange bowl, or were you ever, like, really that mad about it? Like, yeah, we were pissed off, but what could we do? It was out of our control. But now I think it's more than just the orange bowl. It's almost like, okay, you know, I'm from Miami, from Florida. The orange is synonymous with, you know, our city and our state, so
right.
It kind of represents that, like, wherever I go, you see this orange, and it's a really cool thing. I'll tell you, man, when I started painting it, I got such a tremendous feedback, more so than when I was doing letters in my name. It was just, you know, I couldn't turn a blind eye to it. I was just, you know, I had to react and feed off of it. So, you know, it's been good vibes, dude, painting this orange and doing something. It's not your typical street art, because the way that I approach doing this stuff, it still has a graffiti feel. I still get my fix from going out there and, you know, hitting the streets or painting a train or whatever it is, even, you know, placing stickers or whatever it is. It's still the avenues that I'm using to get it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was hoping that I hit. You know, you took the orange, you made a name for yourself with the orange, and like I said, you're doing the graph thing, but at the same time, people are looking at it as art. So now you have all these different genres of people that are just accepting your work, which what elevates you from your regular graffiti writer because you have these avenues working for you, and, you know, people reaching out to you, I'm sure. Hey, listen, you know, you want to sit down, talk about this, this, and that. I mean, you know, what else more can you say? I mean, you do what you do out of love. And
for sure,
you're able to live off of your art, and you're far beyond successful when it comes to that, because you're actually making money doing what you do. And
for sure,
how many artists, and it's sad, like in the art scene, how many artists paint for years and they look for that one break, they never get it, they pass away, and then their shit is selling for fucking millions.
Right.
To me, I find that to be very unfair. You know, it's like, you're living your life, you should be rewarded. You know, why be rewarded when you're dead and someone else is robbing your money? I mean, not unless your family's got it locked down tight that they're going to collect that money, you know? That's the sad thing about it. You know, I mean, what can you do? I mean, there's lawyers for everything, but I think the artist should be rewarded by what he produces as he's living.
Yeah.
You know, when he's, you know, when he passes, yeah, of course the value will go up, but how about if he never made a living off of it?
For sure. Yeah, I've seen people online saying, "Hey, support living artists because the dead ones can't use the money."
Well,
it's that simple.
It is. It's funny and it's sad at the same time, but it's the fucking truth, you know. Yeah. And I believe in that. You know, support those that support you. That's one of my hashtags. I love that fucking thing. You know, you wanna spend a couple of dollars during the holidays, you know, your boys like this, that. Yeah, you know, visit this guy's website. Get one of these magazines. Get some paint for that guy. You know, support the people that mean something to you. And, you know, it's sad when someone dies. I mean, look at Keith Haring. Keith Haring was painting for years in the city, you know, back in the 80s. And look, when he died, shit, one of the handball courts, if I'm not mistaken, is still there. Crack is whack. It was a fluorescent orange handball court with his character in black. And I believe they protect it now.
They repainted it and preserved it for sure. I haven't seen it in person, but
I've seen that thing in person. Shit, when it was painted, and I've actually was on the FDR drive, but I don't recall seeing it. Just last week, and you know, the impression he left behind is a beautiful thing. But I'm sure he was making money. But I don't know to what extent, because I don't know the guy personally. But it's just, you know, the same story over and over again. People should support, you know, the ones that support them, the love of the graffiti, the art, and everything that comes with it. We should support one another, because look, I mean, I'll never get rich off of this shit. You know, me, I do my podcast out of my own pocket. You know, I got a little donate button. Nobody's donated shit, but I don't stop. You know, I continue to do this. This year, I came back a few years ago. I moved and I cut it down. I stopped. And my wife was like, get back into it. So when I came back in January, I haven't stopped since. And nice. I love what I do. And now that I do it over the phone is fabulous, because I'm talking to you, Miami, New York, you know, I've done big miles in Canada. You know, that was great, because when the hell would I ever have an opportunity to sit down with this guy unless I went to Canada or he came to New York?
Yeah. So, that dude's dope. I fuck with Miles and his movement. Canada's fresh. And speaking about that, I think it's very important to travel. You know, I've been lucky enough to travel the world, and the more places you visit and paint, the more people see your work. So as an artist or whatever it is, you know, whatever profession it is, I think that it opens up more doors the more you travel. And even if you're just gaining, you know, some new experiences and seeing, you know, new people or music, food, and, you know, landscape or whatever, it's very important to travel. Also, there was one thing that you were talking about that I wanted to touch on was supporting artists while they're alive and giving back almost, because when I started making my art in 2012, mm-hmm. I also started treating art and collecting art of other people. So it's crazy. I have this like gigantic collection of artwork, let's say like 300 or 400 original pieces, and most of it is just like in storage in tubes or, you know, in my studio when it's not being displayed, but I still do it. I don't know what it is. I feel like you can't like always take and take and take and not give back. So, mm-hmm. you know, my budget, you know, for buying art, it's not like an extensive budget where I can go out and buy like, you know, a four-figure piece or more. I have like my budget, but I love to collect art and give back and also paint for nonprofits and, you know, donate my services or donate my, you know, my talent to something that's going to benefit other people, you know, as far as whatever the nonprofit might be or whatever their movement might be. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to do that. That's another way to, you know, spread your work is to give to a good cause, you know.
Well, speaking of good causes, we have the, I believe, the end of, I think, in 2 weeks, the 24th, the 25th, I believe the Kodak Kids art show, the memorial for the Kodak Kids. To raise money for his daughter Gracie. You know, I've been asked, you know, if I could do anything, and I will. I'll donate. I love when people want to help, and I love to help. You know, 10-year-old girl, daddy's little girl, you know, and now that's gone. And this poor girl is going to always have a memory of her dad. You know, you got guys putting together shows up in Philly on, I believe it's the 25th.
Right.
You know, it's just a great cause. And, you know, if anybody ever asks, I'm more than willing to donate something. And it's, you know, I never met the guy, you know, but I've seen his work, and just the thought of this little girl not having a father, it's heartbreaking. I mean, every news story that's similar or whatnot, it's all heartbreaking. And in this game, this community of ours, you know, what other way is there to show your respect and you know, by me personally giving a little something to help that little girl is very, very satisfying to me. I hope a lot of people help out with it, and I hope they raise a large amount of money for that girl.
Yeah, I never met Kodak Kid as well. I of course saw his moniker. He had you mm-hmm. could tell that he was very talented. I didn't know that he was a writer and had a tag. I always I know. I always just thought that he was just one of these dudes that you know, wrote his name on trains or whatever. But now that he passed and I look at all of the posts that people are doing for him, it was cool to see that he you know, was highly skilled in doing pieces and throws and letter structure beyond
and characters as well. Flavor. The man had flavor.
For sure. I bought one of the shirts that We Ride By Train made for him. And I know that went to his daughter, but I'm definitely going to be sending a piece and some other stickers or whatever for his I think there's a show and then there's a raffle, so I'm gonna donate to both of them.
Yes, the raffle I believe is a month or so later. Conrail is part of putting this together. Just, you know, it's just a nice thing. I mean, for anybody that wants info, I mean, I interviewed Penner Conrail on Instagram a few weeks back. Every week past, I've been shouting out, you know, the event, because I highly support it. And, you know, if someone's listening to me right now, you know, it's just that much more information going out. And it's, you know, it's sad. It's sad that he's no longer with us, but let's just try and help out. And, you know, I appreciate what you do as well. I mean, you're sincere in what you say. You know, you speak with sincerity. Your work is fabulous. Your ideas, you know, just ran. And I wish you well from today on. I mean, there's nothing, there's no hate that could be displayed in a simple thought that propelled.
Right. And I appreciate that, Oski. Hell yeah.
You know, I can't explain it anymore. I mean, certain people, you know, there's a lot of people that hate fucking your fart that you hated. You know, you wear a wrong color. You're outcasted. But when it comes to this stuff, and I say it very loosely, you must respect all, because the talent that you put out there is yours. It's your fingerprint. It's your DNA. It's no one else's. And
for sure,
the advice I give to all the new artists and graffiti writers is, yeah, okay, you know, you want to work off of something that you like, so you could come up with your own style, but own yourself, you know, do you. And I personally, you know, the toy thing, yeah, I was a toy too, but I don't like using that word towards a person, other right. than saying it about when I started. To this day, people still call me a toy. Thank you. I mean, I'm me, you know? But, you know, when this all started way, 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 way back, a lot of people never thought what it would evolve to, what it would turn into the way we see it today. I could only imagine what it's going to be 10, 20 years from now. You know, people are starting to appreciate it all over the world, not just in the States. You know, you go to London, it's fucking fire out there. You know,
yeah, it's insane.
The trains in Italy are like 1980s Manhattan. You know?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've actually rode on trains that are bonded. There's certain
Holy
lines.
Shit.
Same thing as Greece and Athens. And
yes.
Different countries that you go to still have train lines that are tagged up and painted up. I think that, like, before I said traveling's important. When you go to other countries and you see what they're doing with this movement that started in the States, mm-hmm. it's crazy, because like the U.S. only supports it to a certain extent. They're almost like bypassing graffiti 100% and just like focusing and supporting now the whole like street art and mural movement. And it's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's
Absolutely.
A shame for the people that started the culture that are still, you know, doing their thing and not being rewarded for it. But you got to roll with the punches and adapt to the changes and whatnot. But I think that traveling, you know, when you go to other continents and see, like, you know, like you mentioned, the UK or South America or Europe and Africa and Asia, Australia, all these places are just like booming. Their scenes are crazy. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's almost like what it could have been here, mm-hmm. but it, like, it doesn't have that, like, I don't know what it is. There's just something about the States where they, like, continuously, like, battle with the artists. They don't, like, support the arts to a certain extent, if you may, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember a couple of years back, Coop from Legend Thursday's podcast came to New York, came to my house. We interviewed one another. It was great. And he was like, you know, not for nothing, but a few years back when I was here, the rooftops were smashed, the graph was everywhere. Now it seems to be disappearing. And I was cracking up. And he's like, how ironic is that New York is, you know, a staple in this game, but yet you go to Chicago and the graph is sprawled everywhere and New York City is kind of clean. He was like, what do you think about that? And I actually thought about it. I'm like, you know what? He's right. You know, we claim this thing, you know, the dispute between Philly and New York is, you know, who started the graph.
Right.
Of course, I'm a New Yorker. I say New York. I mean, if I was from Philly, I'm sure I'd be saying the same thing. But in unity, we're both in it. But when you compare to, you know, like the lines in Italy that they're smashed, and then you come over to Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, and there's nothing there.
Right.
It's like, you know, this is where it originated from. And, you know, I say it over and over again. Bring back Mayor Dinkins, Ed Koch, you know, when the system was totally shit. And let's go. But, you know, a lot of wishful thinking. I mean, people look at it as property value. I get it. You know, I'm a homeowner. I wouldn't want graffiti on my house. But, you know, you got to, like you said, you got to roll with the punches. You got to accept it, you know, the way it comes, you know, the way it's thrown at you is the way you handle it. And just keep progressing. That's why, you know, like yourself, I respect what you do. It's like, okay, he's done his graph. He's doing his art. He's doing his clothesline and, you know, shit, the sneaker thing. And I'm going to try to hook you up with George, see if, you know, because he knows a lot of people. And something maybe to help you out. Shit, you know, I would get a kick out of it just knowing that, you know, I was a part of setting that up, because it would be fucking cool. Shit, I'll even tell George, you know, listen, give me a pair of fucking sneakers.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'd be like, fuck that. But yeah, he's got a large collection of spray paint over there. You know, he's Montana, the 94, he's got so much paint, it's crazy. And he sells clothes and sneakers and just a great guy. He's got a diner next door, so if you ever come up, you know, to visit, you definitely got to check out his diner, Corona Diner. And, you know, if you're a Nike guy, which it seems to me you're a Nike guy, he's got the Nikes. He's got best looking Nikes out there. And I think the two of you would definitely hit it off very good. And he actually does have a wall that, you know, he has people paint. You know, you never know. Maybe you take a trip up here and he'll be like, yeah, do the wall. And that'll be pretty cool. I'll come down and meet you too. What the fuck?
Hell yeah. No, that would be dope. I'm always down to meet new people and discuss future possibilities, you know.
Yeah,
I would love to do that.
Like I said, I'm going to see what I could do about that. And, you know, hopefully I could help you out with that, because that would be great, because I know George is into it. I know you're into it. And it would be a perfect combo. And he has the greatest platform selling sneakers. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of sneakers that fly out of this guy's store. That's you know, I'll put my name on it. I'll stand behind that 100%. And
for sure.
It's definitely something that should get into the works. But as far as everything else, any last thoughts, shout-outs, projects?
No, not necessarily. I mean, just stay tuned on the Instagram pretty much and see what's going on. I mean, we've touched on a lot of subjects. I think I've talked about pretty much everything I got going on right now, and I appreciate your time and interviewing me and, you know, airing this podcast, and definitely want to meet and paint in person one of these days. And
oh, definitely.
Connect,
maybe I'll
you know?
Come down to Wynwood. What is that? December. If I'm
yeah,
not mistaken.
First weekend. First yeah. weekend of December.
Hopefully I could escape that one. I got a lot of things that I'm trying to take care of as well. I'm going to try to make it up to Portland for the YME 20th anniversary. And then Freight Fix is like, hey, listen, I'll come up to New York. You drive over to Portland. Then I'll drive back to your house. And then we'll go to Philly. And I'm like, holy shit. Now, I would love to try to make the Kodak Kids show. So now it's in back of my head. And I'm like,
for sure.
You know what? I got to see if I could pull it off. If I could pull that off, shit, man.
Yeah, Portland sounds dope. I've never been to the Northwest. The furthest north on the West Coast that I've been is like Mendocino. I haven't been up into, you know, the Portland and the Eugene and Seattle and those places up there. I know there's a real good scene. So you said that YME's doing an anniversary show, party, jam type of deal over there?
Yes, they actually, it's going to be on Friday. They're having like a art show, which I won't be able to make because I'll be working. But Saturday, they have a barbecue at 11. And after that, no one knows. You know, I mean, you got YME, the originators, Ick. You have Lack, Learn, Gerv, so many great writers that smashed the shit out of the Freights, you know, and you got to check out Gerv's page, Benchmaster One, great book, you know, supposedly coming out with a second. He's a photographer as well. And, you know, I interviewed them and I felt that sense of friendship from the start. And I would love to support that show by showing up. And hopefully get Ichabod on an interview, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Hey, listen, sometimes you got to put in the work to get the work done, and I'm more than willing to do it. But
for sure.
If I'm in Miami, you know, or you're in New York, you know, the door's open all the time, and I would love to just shoot the shit, and paint, you know, run the tracks. I don't run anymore. You still run? Do you run?
No, definitely not.
Fuck that. Fuck the running, man. It's crazy because I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna run. Shit, if they want me, they could have me. Fuck it, I'll have a fucking 2-day vacation. But other than that, listen, thank you. It's an honor. I'm really thankful that this fell through. You know, I hope everything's well and your future just continues to bloom, and you know, a beautiful family you have, and just keep up the good work, man, and keep being the humanitarian that you are, because that's what we lack in this society, you know.
For
so
sure. Hell yeah.
You can't
thank you, Oski.
You can't do anything else differently because you're just doing it well. So
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And with that being said, people, check out the Oski Show each and every Sunday. And make sure you check out this interview. This interview is by far personable, and it's just the way I love doing it. Raw and uncut and real talk. Sir Atomico, thank you so very much. And hats off to you, man.
All right. Take it easy, y'all. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
Peace.